Guide me, O thou, great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Guide me, O thou, O great Jehovah, Lord. Hold me with thy powerful hand. I am a weak, but Lord, but thou art mighty. Lord, hold me with thou power. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more bread of heaven, Lord, bread of heaven, Lord, feed me until I want. No, no more. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this another privilege. And Lord, it is a privilege to stand on holy ground to preach your word. I realize, as I always do, I'm not much. But again, we ask that you will anoint our lips of clay so that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Hide us behind your cross so that these your people looking and listening will see you and not us. But Lord, let us preach, not for fame and certainly not for reputation. But Lord, let somebody be saved. We thank you. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray we ask it all. Amen. Remain standing with me, if you would, for just another moment and turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. It is going to be on the screen behind us, and we're going to encourage you to read the entire fourth chapter, but for the purpose of this message and so that we may preserve some time, we'll be looking at verses 20 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. We would ask that we would read it in unison, and by that I'm simply asking that we would pause at commas, stop at periods, so we might read it together. Let us read. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eye look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen, amen. Thank you so very much. From that collection of writings, I want to talk with you for the next little while from this thought. God's supernatural prescription. God's supernatural prescription. Pray for us and pray with us, if you please. Let me begin this message by telling you, God has a medicine that is so powerful. powerful. It can cure every sickness, every disease known to man. Let me also share with you that if you take it, there are no dangerous side effects. You can even take it in massive doses and it is still safe. And when taken daily, according to directions, it can prevent illness altogether and it will keep you in vibrant health. Now, I know some of you are already saying, that sounds too good to be true. Well, it's not too good to be true. It is true. I can testify to you by the word of God and by my own experience that such a supernatural prescription does exist. And it's available to you, each one of you, every moment of every day. You don't have to call your doctor to get it. You don't even have to drive to the drugstore. All you must do is reach for your Bible. Open to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through verse 27, and follow the instructions that you find there. It says again, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health. And in the Hebrew, it says, and medicine to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. As simple as that may sound, those four verses contains the supernatural prescription to divine health. It's a powerful prescription that will work for anyone who puts it into work. If you have received healing by the laying on of hands, following the prescription will help you to stand steadfast in your healing. If you have believed for healing, but you are experiencing lingering symptoms, well, it will help you stand strong until you are completely symptom free. And if you are healthy now, it will help you stay that way, not just for a day or a week, but my brothers and my sisters, the rest of your life. Now, to understand how the prescription works, you must realize that the Word of God is more than just good information. It actually has life within it. I mean, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickens or make alive. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Every time you take the word into your heart, believe it, act on it, that life of what Jesus spoke, the very life of God himself is released in you and in me. Now, you may have read the healing scriptures over and over again. You may know them as well as you know your own name. Yet every time you read them or hear them preach, they bring you a fresh dose of God's healing power. Every time they bring life to you and deliver God's medicine to your flesh. I mean, that's because the word is like a seed. Hebrews chapter 4 and 12 says that it is alive and full of power, making it active, making it operative, energizing and effective. It actually carries within it the power to fulfill itself. When you planted the word about the new birth in your heart, then believe, and then act on it. That word released within you the power to be born again. And by that same token, when you plant the word about healing power in your heart, believe it, act on it, that word will release God's healing power in you. And you may know people who know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and they still can't get healed. But if you will look back at God's prescription, you'll find it doesn't say anything about knowing the Bible. It says attend to the word. When you attend to something, you give your attention to it. You make it top priority. You set aside other things so you can focus on it. When a nurse is attending to a patient, she constantly looks after that patient. She doesn't just leave that patient laying alone in his hospital room while she goes shopping. I mean, if somebody asks her about her patient, she doesn't feel it's sufficient to say, oh, well, you know him. It's the same way, my brothers and sisters. If you're attending to the word, you won't leave it laying unopened on your coffee table all day, every day. You won't spend your day focusing your attention on other things. But on the contrary, you'll do what Proverbs 4 says. You will continually incline your ear to God's word. Now, inclining your ear includes more than just putting your physical ear in a position to hear the word being preached, although that is in itself very important. It also requires you to be actively engaged with God's word, to believe it and to obey it. In fact, the Amplified Bible translates Proverbs 4:20 this way: my son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Submitting to the word means making adjustments in your life. Say, for example, you hear the word in Philippians 4:4 that you are to rejoice in the Lord always. If you've been doing it a lot, you've been doing a lot of griping, you've been doing a lot of complaining, you have to change in order to submit to that word. You have to repent. And then after that, you then must alter your behavior. I mean, in addition to inclining your ear to the word of God, the Proverbs 4 prescription also said you must keep it before your eyes and not let it depart from your sight. And then Matthew in 6:22-23, Jesus reveals why it's so important. He says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, he said that whole body should be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, that whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Your eyes, my brothers and sisters, are the gateway to your body. If your eye or your attention is on darkness or the sickness that is in your body, there will be no light to expel it. If, however, your eye of your hearts are trained strictly on the word, your whole body will eventually be filled with light, and healing will be your results. Granted, it isn't easy to keep your attention centered on the word like that. It takes real effort, and certainly it takes commitment. It may require getting up a little earlier in the morning or turning off the television. But I urge you to do whatever it takes to taste God's medicine exactly as directed. It won't work any other way. Now, that really shouldn't be so surprising. After all, we wouldn't expect natural medicine to work for us if we don't take it as prescribed. No rational person would set a bottle of pills on a nightstand by their bed and expect the pills to heal them. No one would call the doctor and say, hey, doc, these pills don't work. I carry them with me everywhere I go. I keep them in my car with me. I set them on the desk at work. I even have them next to me when I sleep at night, but I don't feel any better. Now, of course, that sounds ridiculous. Yet spiritually speaking, some people do that all of the time. They cry and pray and beg God to heal them all the while, ignoring the medicine that he's already provided. They might take a quick dose on Sunday when they go to church, but the rest of the week, they don't take time for the word at all. And somebody said, well, Reverend, why do people who love God and believe the Bible act that way? I'm not sure what, but I do think it's because they don't understand how putting the word in their heart can affect their physical bodies. They don't see how something spiritually can change something natural. But you'll read the Bible. However, if you read the Bible, you will see that spiritual power has been affecting this physical world ever since it began. In fact, it was spiritual power released in the form of God's word that brought this natural world into existence in the first place. When you realize that God's word is the force that originally brought into being everything, then you can see that you can touch, including your physical body. It's easy to believe that the word of God is still capable of changing your body, my body today. I tell you, it makes perfect sense. And somebody would probably say, Reverend, I have no problem with believing God. I have no problem believing his word. And I believe that his word will heal me if he speaks to me out loud like he did in Genesis. But I want to say, but he said, well, but he hasn't done that. And my answer to you is this: no. And he probably won't do it either. God no longer has to thunder his voice down at us from heaven. These days, he lives in the hearts of believers. So he speaks to us from the inside instead of from the outside. What's more, when it comes to covenant issues like healing, we don't have to wait on him to speak. He's already spoken. He's already said, by Jesus' stripes that we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. He's already said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. He's already said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. James 5:25. He's already done his part. So now it's time for us to do ours. We must take that word that he's spoken, put it inside, and let it change us from the inside out. Church, everything, including healing, starts inside you. Your future is literally stored up in your heart. As Jesus said, a man out of the good treasures of the heart bring it forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. That means if you want eternal conditions to be better tomorrow, you better start changing your internal conditions today. You better start taking the word of God, depositing it in your heart, just like you deposit money in the bank. Then you can make withdrawals on it whenever you find that you need it. When sickness attack your body, you can tap into the healing word that you put inside you and run that sickness out of your body. Somebody said, well, Pastor, how do you do that? Simple. You open up your mouth. You speak not like you've been speaking words of sickness and disease and discouragement and despair, but words of healing and life and faith and hope. You follow the last steps of God's divine prescription and put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put from thee. In other words, stop it. Get away from it. Don't do it no more. In short, you speak the words of God and call yourself healed in the name of Jesus. Now, initially, that may not be easy for you to do, but you must do it anyway, because for faith to work, it must be in two places. One in your heart, the other in your mouth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I know we said faith will move mountains, but the scriptural truth is faith won't even move a molehill for you unless you release it with the words of your mouth. The Lord Jesus told us that. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he said. Now notice the word say appears three times in that verse, while the word believe only appears once. Now obviously Jesus wanted us to know that our words are critical. Notice here also, he did not instruct us to talk about the mountain. He instructed us to talk to the mountain. Church, we must talk to the mountain of sickness. Cast it out of our lives. The Lord told a minister friend of mine once, I told my people they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. Instead of saying I'm healed, most Christians say I'm sick and reinforce the sickness or disease. Some people have said that it bothers me to say I'm healed when my body still feels sick. Well, if you are a Christian and a believer, then it shouldn't be that way. I mean, it didn't bother Abraham. He went around calling himself the father of nations for years, even though he was childless as he could be. I mean, why did he do it? Because he believed God, who quickened the dead and called things which is not as though they were. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to do to perform. You see, Abraham wasn't trying to believe God. He wasn't just mentally ascending to it. He had immersed himself in God's word until the word was more real to him than the things he could see. It didn't matter to him that he was 100 years old. Didn't matter to him that Sarah, his wife, was far past the age of childbearing and that she had been barren all her life. All that mattered to him was what God said, because he knew the word of God was true. And I need to stop here and put a pin here, because I wanted, as the Spirit was giving me this message, one of the things early this morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, Lord just made it so clear to me. He said, show them the power of the